Carol, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. It's a gorgeous day out, and I should be out raking leaves.
You and me both. Thanks a lot for bringing that up, Carol. I appreciate that.
Well, there's only a few days left to be able to do those things.
Well, I wish I would have been at Lansing City Council meeting last night. It's pretty fiery there.
Yeah, it was, and unfortunately, I think that as you have differences of opinion, we have watched this fall into a situation where name-calling has to be brought out, and that's very unfortunate.
Okay, well, before we talk about this, can you talk about it yet? Because I know that the council has until 5 o'clock on Monday to decide if they're going to fight the court decision.
We can talk a little bit about it because there was action taken last night, and we have again there was some done then, and so we can discuss it a little.
Well, let's talk about the decision. First of all, you have voted no from the first vote. Why?
Well, there's a number of issues with the Brownfield plan that I had concerns about. Having sat on council for a number of years, both this plan as well as the Marshall Street plan had a future Brownfield designation that was set up. When I was first on council, we were doing neighborhood enterprise zones, which were only supposed to be used for owner-occupied homes. We passed one, actually, for the Pruden Lofts that at that time Harry Hepler was going to turn into condos. By the time he was ready to use that, the legislation had changed, and it could be used for apartments where the money savings would go to the developer and not to the owner. So I've watched legislation from the state change that had an impact on the city. The idea that we were assured that we could come back and vote on things doesn't always mean that that's what's going to happen by the time we end up having a project in front of us. That's just one of the many reasons why I had concerns about the brownfields that were presented to us.
To play devil's advocate, would giving tax incentives to Mr. Gillespie to build this project, if you talk about the jobs created for the building and the construction, from the revenues from the residential and businesses that would be there, the taxes, how that would really make the city look better and grow. It seems from if you play devil's advocate that building this is a no-brainer.
Well, you know, any development is development is good for the city. Let's put it that way. I think that we also have to be cognizant of where that development is. One of the things that's come up in the last 2 years is we've had to refinance the TIFA because we were going bankrupt, because we weren't getting enough revenue coming in to that to pay off our debt. The section where Pat Gillespie is building is actually in that TIFA area, and so we have watched what's happened as we've reduced those taxes in there, having to refinance, having to use money from the general fund. So you have to look at every avenue when you're looking at this and not just assume because it's creating jobs that's the only thing that you need to look at. You need to look at what the future revenues are going to be. When you look at the last 4 years, the incentives that this council and many of those that I've been voted for, we've done over $150 million, which means $150 million that's not coming into the city in tax incentives. So those are issues out there, and I think every project needs to be looked at critically, and what the long-term effect can have.
Where do you stand on the tax incentives for the motor companies here in town?
I supported GM. I looked at those, looked at what they've done in meeting their obligations and following through on what they've said that they would do. I think those have proven to be very beneficial to the city. And again, you know, I think you have to look at each one that comes before you.
What's the difference between the Gillespie deals and the GM deals?
Well, the GM currently, the one that we're looking at, has to do with equipment that's coming into a plant. It doesn't have to do with a brownfield. It's not in the TIF either.
You know, Carol, a lot of folks were upset about the Marketplace deal because they thought that the deal was done, and then in the 11th hour, several council members decided to vote against the plan. What's your take on that?
Well, if you go back to the agreement, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, one of the things that was talked about during a committee of a whole meeting back in 2008 was the fact that we had both Bob Trecise, who is the director of the EDC, as well as Brian Anderson, who was then an employee that was looking at, that was working on this, that both said that these incentives that are in here, and it's a quote from Bob, that this development agreement does not obligate you to pass any of the incentives listed. However, what it is stating is that if these are not passed to the developer's satisfaction, that he has the right not to close on the property. Pat didn't do his due diligence. He closed on the property before there were votes taken on these issues, before there were things that were discussed out there. The agreement was the agreement to sell. The agreement was not an agreement that we would pass those incentives. We were told repeatedly by that. We even have it on tape with Pat Gillespie making that same statement. He understood that it was part of his responsibility to do his due diligence before closing, and that he had the right not to close if those things weren't done. And those issues are out there.
So from where you stand, should City Council continue its efforts to fight this deal?
Well, and again, I think there are two different issues out there, Tony. One is the issue of the brownfields, where people have differing opinions on that. The other is whether we allow a judge to take home rule away from the city. When we had the Wolverine issue before us, that was a home rule issue where the state said that we didn't need to have the city issue permits for that pipeline. The city said, absolutely, this is in our city, we have that right, and we fought that. We fought a company that had many millions of dollars to throw into this, but we felt it was important to stand up. We now have a judge who didn't order this back to us to reconsider, said, I don't care what your opinion is. I'm going to move this forward as one individual. We have the responsibility to look at these development issues and to make a decision based on them. I have had Ingham County representatives, I've had Eaton County representatives listen to some concerns from the Michigan Municipal League. This is a huge issue on whether a judge can overturn a municipality's decision-making powers.
Well, and once again, I guess I'll ask, would you recommend to the City Council that they continue to fight this?
Absolutely.
Do you think that will get done before 5 o'clock on Monday?
I don't know.
Very interesting, Carol, and I appreciate your candor on that. Let's talk about another issue with the Lansing City Rescue Mission and the Cushion Community Compassion Center. We had folks on from both those entities yesterday. Mark Chris, who is the executive director of the Lansing City Rescue Mission, takes issue with that business being located next to his facility. What's your take on that?
Well, as you know, and we've had this discussion before, we continue to wrestle with whether we're talking about a center that is doing counseling and helping patients find caregivers, or whether we're talking about a dispensary that's actually selling marijuana. And those are issues that are out there that, again, we have a state legislation that has made it difficult for municipalities to be able to understand what it is they're enforcing. We continue to work with the prosecutor's office. He's put a study group together from the Tri-County region trying to look at legislation to try to have us on the same page with that. We continue to meet with that group. This is not an easy situation for anyone that's involved with it.
All right. And before we let you go, Carol, anything else that you're going to be working on? Any meetings that you want to publicize?
Well, we, again, are going to, so that everyone remembers that the City Hall is going to be closed on the 11th, which is Veterans Day, and so we won't be having City Hall open. So just remember that when you're out there making arrangements to do things in the city. And we look forward to Silver Bells, which is coming up on the following Friday.
You know, I guess I should say, and I should allow you to address last night, you thought that some of the dialogue between the mayor and the city council members was maybe inappropriate?
I do. You know, I think one of the things is that as we have differing opinions, the idea of assuming that someone hasn't thought through a situation and isn't making a informed decision is bad on everyone's side. And the mayor demonstrated again that because there's a differing opinion out there, the only way he can get his across is by calling names and making fun of people that have differing ideas. The idea that we're going to, without accountability, without checking each project, just open the door and allow anyone to come through, and that we're going to grant every single thing that someone asks for development is ridiculous. These developments are not entitlements. What these developments are is a way to jumpstart something and moving it forward. We have discussed over and over again, when does it become enough, and that allowing the market to drive what's happening versus the fact that you use these incentives to push start it.
All right, Carol, always enjoy the conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a great day.